Such a tragedy that happened on the train tracks in Southport, Connecticut. A man who was electrocuted after he had climbed on top of a Metro North train car. This happened last Friday. The man, a 33-year-old New Haven resident, and we didn't have an awful lot of detail about what led up to this, but it certainly was shocking. It obviously led to a lot of delays, but more questions, I would say, than answers. And so I'm very grateful to have Fairfield's police chief with us, Mike Paris. This actually happened on Thursday. But we started to follow the story Friday, obviously, when trains were back on schedule and everything. But Chief Mike Paris with the Fairfield Police Department, you and an entire team, you guys were on site for this and have the latest details. So I thank you so much for your time. How are you?
Good, Melissa. Thank you for having me. Yes, we were there. The for sure, a tragic incident. And, you know, it's not usual that the police chief responds to a call like this. So, you know, when I'm there, there's probably an issue. And I think that's how we look at it in Fairfield in general, is if there's an issue that's so big to a point where the police chief is there, we are going to expend every resource possible to ensure that our residents are safe, people who are visiting Fairfield are safe, and anything that we could bring to the table, we will do. But very sad situation for sure.
So, Chief Paris, my understanding from Metropolitan Transportation Authority, and again, I don't know if they are investigating this, if it's your office. First of all, who's in charge? Like, I was thinking about if there's an accident on the highway, Connecticut State Police, that's like their jurisdiction. So even if there was a crash in Fairfield, if it's on the highway, Connecticut State Police cover that. Is it the same with a Metro North situation? Does that fall under MTA or is that under your jurisdiction?
It is under MTA's jurisdiction. However, we do, just like with the state police, we have a great relationship with these outside agencies. And to have this interagency cooperation is important for both agencies. You know, we want to ensure that the residents of Fairfield and those who are visiting Fairfield know that the Fairfield police are there to help them. That's what they expect. Metro North would handle the investigation. We would handle anything ancillary. For example, when this incident happened, not only did the police respond, we had, of course, our fire department respond, which, again, we have a great relationship with and great working relationship with. We need each other there. And when we show up, we bring resources with us. So this train incident, we knew that we were going to have people very concerned and shocked, and this is a tragic incident. So we brought our social worker with us. And our social worker came to speak to people, including the conductor who witnessed this incident. We brought her to that scene. And the same thing happened last time when somebody was tragically struck by a train. We knew that this was going to cause controversy and issues and worry, and we don't want that in our town. So anything that we could help with, we will do. So that's why we show up. You know, we will handle the traffic around it. We'll handle the pedestrian traffic, bring resources possible, whatever we can do, and assist these agencies with their investigation.
So, again, we've got Fairfield's Police Chief Mike Paris with us, and just a devastating situation recently involving a Metro North train. So a man was electrocuted after he climbed on top of a Metro North train car, and this was at the Southport Railroad Station, identified as a 33-year-old man. My understanding, Chief Paris, was there was some kind of confrontation inside the train before this man then climbed on top of a car. Do you have any indication of what happened? Was this somebody he was familiar with? Like, can you tell us anything that led up to him eventually climbing up to the top of a car and passing away?
Sure. So, firstly, I have to give credit to the conductor, the female conductor who intercepted this interaction between this person and another person. I'm not sure if they knew each other. I don't think they did. But this female conductor acted as if she was a police officer. She separated the person. She called for assistance. She called for police. And her other conductors started to respond. And I think when this person saw these other conductors responding, that's when he exited the car, climbed atop the train, and was subsequently electrocuted. You know, it's very dangerous. I talked with the Metro North captain there who, you know, we are friends. We talk to each other, you know, on a weekly, monthly basis. And this unfortunately happens You know, people don't realize the dangers of being near the trains and being especially near their electricity. It's a concern that they have. It's something that they are trained for and plan for. I can't say how proud I was to see Metro North respond in the way they did and bring all of their resources, like their electricians and their technical people and their police and their detectives. All of that stuff is why people eventually had this feeling of, hey, we're here protected.
Mm. Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there, Chief Paris. So first and foremost, I don't know if the role, and again, this is probably something outside of what you can speak to, but I do find that's fascinating that the conductor already knew how to do kind of de-escalation training. I think that's really fascinating. Yeah. I don't know if that's something that has become new to the role of a conductor, but I think about, you know, how airline workers have unruly customers and how they've had to start doing that type of training. So I wonder if that's the case with conductors as well. I don't know if you know anything about that, sure. But that's interesting.
I don't know, but hats off to them because, you know, they're the enforcement on these trains while they're in motion until they can get help. So these conductors act, you know, like police officers, like paramedics, like, you know, food service people, all these things. They're wearing many hats while they're on the train, and hats off to them for the great job that they do every day because, you know, it's a lot like police officers. We're asked to wear many hats a lot of times, and I think conductors are the same. And can you imagine, you know, sitting on a train, having this incident occurring, you almost feel trapped, and you really are trapped
mm-hmm.
with other people.
Yeah, I agree. So no, I think that's a big deal.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why it's nice to have people trained. It's nice to show the level of force that we do when an incident does occur because, you know, again, like on our streets, we're not going to allow people to disrupt the normal flow of our daily lives. And if we can intercept it and do so, we will.
Does it lead you, though, Chief Paris, to, and again, I think this is more of like a generalized question, not specific to Fairfield, just to be clear. And again, we've got Fairfield Police Chief Mike Paris with us after the horrific situation that happened on Metro North last week where a man was electrocuted, climbing between the cars, getting on top of it, after a confrontation that happened on the train. I guess a general question I'd have for you, Chief Paris, is do you feel like we have enough security in place for public transportation, specifically the trains?
Yes. You know, people should feel comfortable and comforted to know that the police are here. You know, it's not just Fairfield, like you said. It's Bridgeport, and it's Stratford, and it's Westport. And these local communities are here to support Metro North and anything that they go through on the train. So if there's an incident in any of our towns, no matter where the train is, we're responding. You know, we had an incident where a wire fell down, just simple wire. And we responded because we know people were trapped on that train. So we're not going to leave people abandoned on those trains. And they should feel comforted to know that the local police departments are there to support Metro North in anything that they do.
Yeah, no question. And I think that is certainly important. I am curious, though, you know, and again, obviously, I mean, thank God, knock on wood, we don't really see a lot of situations, thankfully, happen on trains. But it was obviously another part of the country where a woman was, you know, unfortunately stabbed and lost her life on a train, though, not that long ago in America. And so I know that's been a question of are our trains in general secure as they can be? And maybe it is partially that conductors are learning de-escalation training or, you know, I don't know if it's a situation where you feel like we need armed people on trains. I'm not sure, like, your thoughts on that in general.
Sure. I mean, listen, look at our schools, what we're doing to our schools to protect our schools. We're hiring security to protect our schools. I mean, the trains are a method of transportation where at some point you feel maybe vulnerable. But again, no matter what people feel and how they feel, including myself, you know, when I'm on the train, and that's one of the reasons why when police officers travel the train, we make sure the conductors know that there's police, that we are police officers, because we want them to know that if there's an issue, come to us and we'll help you. And I think that's, you know, that's goes far, part and part as to why we have this great relationship is because we identify ourselves to the conductors when we're on the trains, whether on duty or off duty, and let them know that we're here to support them if they ever have an issue.
We are chatting with Fairfield Police Chief Mike Paris, and want to switch gears with you real quick, Chief Paris, while I have you here. I know this is not that fun of a topic, because as a reporter, I know I'm getting a lot of inquiries about it. But it's not just Fairfield, to be clear. There's more than a dozen different towns and cities that are dealing with the speed enforcement cameras. My city is one of them. Mine. I don't own it. Sorry. I live in Milford, though, and we're dealing with it right now, are the speed enforcement cameras. And we just started ticketing in the city of Milford. But I know our police department said they've already seen, just in that 30-day warning period, they saw a 50% reduction in speeding where those cameras were placed. You recently had a press conference where you were talking about the what seems to be a real success with the speed enforcement cameras. What I found was really surprising, though, is during your press conference, I don't remember the amount, but it was something like 17 or 19%. It was low. It was a low percentage. The people getting tickets in Fairfield are not Fairfield residents. I found that really fascinating.
Yeah, for sure, Melissa. Listen, this is a topic of discussion that makes me not sleep at night.
I'm sure. I'm sure. It's not been fun.
I know for sure that what this device and these devices are doing is lowering the amount of speed in our town, which since I've been a traffic sergeant years ago, the town has been begging for us to do something to slow speeds. And like you said, this is not just Fairfield. This is other towns. This is a new concept. And I understand that. I completely can relate to the fact that this is a new program and people don't want to get tickets. That's not the mission. You know, the real mission is to slow speed. If we get no tickets from this, that's great, because we want people to drive slow, especially during our most vulnerable times in our most vulnerable areas, and that's around our school system. You know, this is specifically targeted to slow traffic around the schools. And if we could say that this program has caused traffic to slow around those programs, there's no doubt it's a success.
Well, and so here's the interesting part, Chief Paris, which, you know, I think this is where I totally understand opting into this. And again, the Vision Zero legislation that passed in 2023, ironically, by at the time Fairfield Senator Tony Huang, it's kind of a, you know, you choose if this is what's best for your town or city, right? I mean, that's how it works, which is why it's such a lengthy process. There's not a one size fits all. You know, it's a what does the town need? How many cameras? Where do they need it? So on and so forth. They have to give data to the DOT. It's a lengthy process. But what's interesting is, you know, of course, there are going to be people who don't like the speed enforcement cameras, of course. And I do think that to some degree, it's a little bit broken in the sense that, yeah, people are going to avoid those streets where the cameras are. And now they're pouring onto other streets where their actions aren't changing. I'd love to get kind of your take on that. The idea that, you know, first of all, the fact that you're seeing the majority of your tickets coming from out of Fairfield residents, I think is fascinating, and it paints a much bigger picture, which is that we have a huge problem across the state of Connecticut, which is just speed in general. And I think that needs to be attacked at a state level, you know, so that these municipalities are not just getting the brunt of it. You know, I can't believe what Fairfield, how they've reacted, to be honest. And again, I understand, like, there's a separate controversy surrounding, like, the program that's being used versus the actual speed enforcement cameras. But we have a real problem with speeding across the state of Connecticut. That's the issue.
You're 100% right. You're speaking exactly how I feel. And it bothers me to a point where people are concerned so much that we're trying to trick them and trying to do things that are undermined. I can tell you this. This did not happen overnight. This program started well before I was even in office, and it's hard for us to fathom that people are complaining because they want to go fast. And most importantly, they're complaining also that they want to go fast only on certain times. I've seen the most tragic crashes occur in the overnight hours because of speed. And those tragic crashes are preventable because people could slow down. And that's why this program is running 24/7. That's why we're keeping this program running 24/7, because the issues are not just during the day. They occur at night. And I received a letter from a dad who said, "Chief, I, you know, didn't know the issues that were occurring with these cameras, and I was upset with them myself. However, I received a warning from my young child who was driving in the overnight hours, and I realized that they were driving 80 miles per hour in the overnight hours. And I would have never known that if it weren't for these cameras. And I think that this may have saved their life, or maybe saved their at least time to get a ticket or not." So right there, just that statement is a huge statement to say that these things are doing what they're intended to do, and that is slow down traffic.
Yeah. No, I agree. What I do find is the brokenness, and again, this is outside of Fairfield. This is in general with the law, which I tried to talk to Senator Huang about, but I don't think I ever landed the plane on it, so that's my bad. But the two things I worry about is, one, you've got people who are now avoiding the cameras, which drives me crazy. It's like, listen, like, if there's no clearer message that speeding is a problem, you're avoiding the cameras by going to another road to speed. So that's a problem.
Right.
But the other part of it is that we have to be able to break behavior in general. And I just don't think we want to do that. And so I don't know what your take is on, you know, as far as overflow traffic to another street, you know, to avoid the cameras, but also, you know, people who are following the law now. Like, I've noticed myself in Milford, people are right behind me, flipping me off. They're pissed. And I think to myself, guys, I'm saving you from getting a ticket. Like, you should be thanking me. You should be saying thank you to me, by the way.
Yeah.
But they're not. They're mad. Like, there are some drivers who are more mad than they were before the cameras went into place. And I don't know your thoughts on those two aspects.
Sure. So, listen, just because we started this program doesn't mean we suspended our other enforcement efforts. We have a dedicated traffic unit who focuses their time on lowering traffic by speed enforcement. So what we, with any new program and what we're doing with this program, is we pivot. Where we saw issues in the school systems for speed, now if issues arise in other areas, we move to those areas. And our traffic unit officers are now focused on those other areas that people may try to move to increase their speed. So it's a little bit like whack-a-mole. However, we're hoping that with each and every change that we make, it's an improvement to the traffic that we're watching in town. I'm sitting now watching the speed camera on Uncle Road, and I see traffic going slow. And again, that's something we are hoping to do in this whole town, is to slow traffic, calm people down. And our efforts are not going to stop on any level, on any traffic level. If you're going to go through a stop sign to try to make up that time that you've done, we're going to give you a ticket. If you're going to speed in other areas and cause issues in other areas, we're going to give you a ticket. We will move and pivot. And again, we're not here just to give tickets to people and just be the naysayer of things. We are here to slow traffic, to prevent injury. And if it means getting a ticket to do that and to save somebody's life, so be it.
Yeah, well, Chief Paris, I really appreciate you talking about this and the other topic regarding Metro North. As far as the tickets are concerned, it's interesting because I don't know. I mean, I do. I only because I look them up constantly for this show. But I never remember off the top of my head which towns or cities have the speed enforcement cameras in place. And so I could tell you as a driver, it has absolutely changed the way that I drive through any town or city, because my city has them. The town that my parents live in, which is Fairfield, has them. And so my habits have changed to the point that no matter what town or city I'm driving through in Connecticut, I'm following the speed limit because of it. So you hope that that behavior changes everybody, even if they don't have the cameras in place. Chief Mike Paris, I so appreciate you. Thank you so much from Fairfield Police Department.